You know, in my mind, the way I look at this is, you know, I want to show them that I'm doing what I can to prevent something from coming in, you know, in one of our ingredients. And if I can prevent that with these specific procedures, I know I'm not only setting myself up for success, but I'm also setting up that end user for success.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Carlos Campabadal from Kansas State University, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the feed science industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. So today it is a great pleasure for me to have Dr. Roger Cochran from SAM Nutrition here as a guest. Roger, welcome. It's always good to see you, a fellow K-State alumni here, and happy to host you today here in the Feed Science Podcast. Roger, how you doing?
Good, Carlos. Good to see you virtually here today.
Great. Perfect. So as we discuss today's episode, I think it will be good for our audience to learn a little bit about yourself. So you can kind of tell us a little bit how you end up in this field and where you are working today with SAM and with Nexus powered by SAM. And we'll hit it off from there.
Sure. Well, first off, Carlos, you know, thank you to you, Wisenetics, and the Feed Science Podcast for the opportunity today to talk with the listeners and viewers on really SAM Nutrition and how we started with responsible import guidelines and really have taken that and developed into Nexus powered by SAM, which is our feed additive division. And on my background, you know, to get where I'm at today, it's quite a little bit of a journey here. I started out originally from Southern Indiana, grew up on a small row crop farm, really no agriculture experience, you know, helped on the farm here and there, but no livestock experience at all. Went to a small liberal arts school in Indiana called Franklin College, majored in chemistry and minored in biology there, and kind of hit the point where I needed to figure out where I wanted to go or what path, and was able to come out to Kansas State University for 10 weeks going into my senior year to do some research under a REU program through the National Science Foundation, and that landed me in the grain science program out there with Kyle Probst. And, you know, enjoyed the research side. The project wasn't necessarily my forte, but that led me back out to K-State, where I got my master's in grain science under Cassie Jones, and then followed Cassie over to animal science when she made that transition. So continued on with my PhD there in animal science and really focused in on feed mitigation, feed biosecurity, and importing of ingredients safely.
That's great, and I don't know, you're probably aware that Kyle is also from Indiana, and funny enough, yesterday was his birthday. So
yeah.
So I know Kyle because we used to share an office at Purdue University when we were both grad students many years ago. So, but anyway, this is very interesting, and the moral of the story of what you just said is that you never know where you're going to end up, and of course, even is that you were in the agriculture family and stuff, you ended up in this area, which is great. So, this is very important. So if you don't mind, kind of like telling us a little bit about your job, what is the main thing that you actually do there at Nexus and SAM Nutrition, and then we'll kind of lead it there to know where you are. And of course, for our audience, please like us. Please give us the famous thumbs up if you like today's episode.
To where I'm at today, I've been with SAM Nutrition here a little over a year now. Previously was with Pipestone Nutrition for about 5 years. Big focus on feed mill biosecurity, doing a lot of audits, you know, through feed mills, basically all the way across the Midwest. And during that time, was also able to work with SAM Nutrition a little bit on the responsible import guidelines. So majority of my time today, I would be the director of technical services. So I would support our responsible imports program, help out at the feed mill level. You know, if we have customers that have concerns with a product or, you know, hey, this may not be flowing. Hey, we think we may want to change this design. What are your thoughts or ideas there? Have you seen different equipment in these scenarios? I also help support our sales team on that front as well. And then here in the last month, we launched Nexus, which is powered by SAM. It's our feed additive division. So
okay.
Along with our sales team, I would be a huge part of that process as well. So more of the technical side, right? When you get into those feed additives and how those interact within the animal, and you know, how we can look at the feed mill levels too with those.
And this is very interesting. You mentioned something about the import guidelines, I know there's a certain responsibility, and you guys call RIG, you know, responsible import guidelines. So I know that our audience is worldwide, and I'm pretty sure that they will actually be interested to know what it is, and then of course understand what triggered it, you know, how did it start it. So if you could tell us a little bit more on that technical perspective, what are those?
So responsible import guidelines, I'm kind of going to break it out into two sections here. One, you know, I like to look at as an industry as a whole. And really this goes back to, call it 2018, 2019, when we had the threat of African swine fever virus. We saw that virus start to really become in the forefront of everybody's minds when we saw that spreading through China. And then I'm going to take a step back again, even further to 2013 and 14. And, you know, why are we concerned there? Well, you know, we had a virus that came in the United States, which was porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. And really, we started to learn and see that, hey, you know, we knew bacteria could move around and feed ingredients, but we hadn't really went the viral route until that point. And really, in that 2013-14, a lot of research was being completed. You know, hey, can this virus truly move through ingredients? You know, if they're imported, even domestically, can it move around if it becomes contaminated? So really, the thought came from the industry is how can we safely start to bring products in, you know, that we need? And in reality, some of those only come from countries of concern. We can't just go and pull that off the shelf here domestically. So when we look at the industry, you know, a lot of the thought process was, well, you know we can hold an ingredient, we can track a transit time. So really that's where it really started is, hey, we think we can quarantine these for a certain time before it goes from a warehouse to a feed mill. And really some of the problems you start to get into there is, you know, hey, products aren't really segregated. I have products coming in at different time points. Is the size of my warehouse really big enough to do that? As well, right? We've got a ton of different things coming in, and you know, there was some data there, but that data was, you know, was slowly generated, right? It's just the process of research. So that was kind of the, you know, the industry side of it as a whole. And then, you know, I think where SAM Nutrition really came in and really started to push this idea of responsible import guidelines, really started around the idea of what we call the true quarantine system. So we would bring containers or product into a specific location that was attached to the warehouse where we could put those in one room at a specific time and temperature. And not only the product, but, you know, the forklift that was unloading all stayed in that room until we knew we met that temperature and time standpoint. So kind of that second level of safety there. And really what I think you learn from that too is not only am I quarantining that product and I can hold it, but, you know, thinking of things such as, you know, QAQC holds, right? So that product's sitting there a little bit longer. You know, we always know we're going to have results back in time before product goes out, which was a nice little step there. And, you know, it's all based off science, too. I think that's one of the biggest pushes, too, is, you know, these decisions initially, right, we had to throw everything at it. But now we can kind of pull back in certain areas where we've got the data. We understand transit times. We've seen what temperatures can do as that product comes in from different countries into the different ports as well.
And that is very interesting. You know, I as a matter of fact, last week I was in a specific feed mill out of the country in Berbick, and their quarantine section was next to the processing on that same building, next to the connected to the warehouse where there was quarantine there, finished feed, and feed ingredients in bags, all under the same roof. Maybe it's sectionized, but not necessarily a true quarantine of what that means, you know. So this is something very important because you see it in many places. And so based on that, on those responsible import guidelines, how can we further strengthen? What can people do or how do they get connected into this?
So for us, the way we kind of, you know, I think the industry as a whole was very comfortable with the procedures that were being done. But to strengthen that further, the biggest question that we got and, you know, actually that I had, you know, coming into this role was, hey, what are the manufacturers of these products actually doing from a biosecurity and quality standpoint, right? We don't get to see it. We're trying to base everything off paper trails, understanding processes. So it's the idea of, you know, you trust, but you have to verify. So what we kind of really started to do is to start and visit these manufacturing facilities. I'm going to say verification a lot, right? So it's we have them go through that approval process, and we've got to verify all those steps. We're talking anything from manufacturing and process controls, but really even at the biosecurity level too. And I think what that really does, and how we start to strengthen that, not only with our relationship with those manufacturers, but ultimately our end users, is where we've got to build that trust. So the more trust and transparency that we can, you know, communicate with them and show them from the trips to visiting these facilities, I think it's a win-win, not only for, you know, us and the customer, but it starts to build that relationship further with those manufacturing facilities. And, you know, it also allows us to see, you know, the difference between the internal market and external markets there from an importation, exportation standpoint.
So you guys are basically in a way connecting the end user in the United States with the global markets, and we understand a little bit about that. But why is it so important? I mean, what will be that link so important process overall in making feed?
Yeah, and I think when we started thinking about this too, obviously the Feed Science podcast, right? One of the best ways to think about how we wanted to do that and why is, you know, we have FSMA in our mind, right? Food safety plans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my mind, the way I look at this is, you know, I want to show them that I'm doing what I can to prevent something from coming in, you know, in one of our ingredients. And if I can prevent that with these specific procedures, I know I'm not only setting myself up for success, but I'm also setting up that end user for success, you know, and potentially on a future hazard as well. Something that may not be there today that could come in the future. I know I've got procedures in place. And, you know, if I can successfully do that, you know, bring a product in responsibly and safely through this procedure, you know, then I really start to link that domestic user to these global markets. And the reason that's so important is, you know, and I think, you know, what we're dealing with right now, we have, you know, we're faced with these geopolitical parameters that we really can't control, you know, in our business, and our end users can't. But, you know, things that we can't control is we can start looking at other countries, other sources of these products where we can try and provide that optionality then to meet their needs safely and responsibly. And if you start looking at same nutrition, you know, we're looking at over, you know, 20 different countries with various products. So I know if I can follow this process to a T, bring it in safe, responsibly, then I'm really starting to link that end user back to all these global markets to help them meet their successful factors as well.
So it brings like, I'll call it a peace of mind to the end user and connected in the, because we're in a small world, especially when you talk about our industry, animal production, to those global markets. So, just for very important for our audience, please subscribe to the channel, click on the bell to receive no notifications there. So going back to the conversation, so we kind of bring that peace of mind to the end users compared to the global markets. And can you just kind of tell us a little bit about some of those examples of things that you guys do? You know, feed ingredients come from many places, but there are specific markets that have a higher tendency to come into the United States than others.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think you hit it on the head there, Carlos. You know, a majority of products come from a few countries, right? And I'm going to take a step further and we're going to kind of separate that out a little bit too, you know, looking at how maybe we screen for a commodity-based product versus more of, you know, like a feed additive product. And when I mention commodities, I'm leaning more into the micro commodity. So like an amino acid, for instance, okay, or some of these vitamins, right? We're very limited on where we can get those. There may be a ton of manufacturers of those, but they're only going to come from certain areas. And for us, the way we go through and really start to do this is we're going to put those manufacturers through what I'm going to call our pre-screen process. So this is our paper trail section of, you know, of documentation and understanding, you know, a flow diagram, their initial interview that they're going to go through and do with us, the sample testing, verification against a COA, you know, is that product consistent? You know, is there any potential adulterants and purity, right? So things that we do domestically here with products, we're basically taking that and transitioning it into the international side. You know, if they get through that first step for us, and then that's when we're starting to look at the verification side. So we're going to go and look at these facilities. We're going to audit that manufacturing facility, you know, from an SOP standpoint, all the way to biosecurity, which I think is obviously very important with from the responsible side. And this is anything not, you know, not only just manufacturing. So the biosecurity, all those SOPs, understanding the site layout, you know, hey, is there potentially livestock in this area too? And then a step further, trying to understand how this product is actually going from, you know, manufacturing A, you know, site A or B to the port. You know, how does that get transported? Are they open trucks? Are they, you know, stacked bags? Or do I have that in a sealed container by the time it gets to the port? So a lot of uncertainties there that I think very hard to verify unless you go actually see this and do that step.
So a little bit on that sense. You guys have a specific clients, and we could put an example so people can understand that. I mean, a lot of feed additives here in the United States and the majority of the world actually come from China. So how explain a little bit how that process, I mean, an example there from China specifically, and who gets to choose that partner over there? Would that be SAM Nutrition or will that be your clients or a specific person that requests that?
For us, Carlos, on that one, you know, it's ultimately going to come down to, you know, us working with the customer is the easiest way to put that. So, you know, I'll take an amino acid, for example. Hey, you know, there may be three lysine manufacturers, for example, out there. You know, we're going to bring those samples in, try and present those to our customers and say, hey, you know, these are the three samples that we think are good. It's, you know, it's went through and checked all of our boxes. How do you think these will interact within, you know, your system with your feed mill? Is there a consistency concern you have? And ultimately, we'll factor all that information into the decision of what product we want to bring in from that side. I think once you get in the feed additive realm, that's going to change quite a bit then.
Oh, okay. And first of all, of course, for our audience, if you have any questions on this topic, please let us know on the comment section there on the podcast. We'll be sure to get them to Roger. So talking about feed additives, I mean, a little bit of how do you guys select those? I mean, specifically and for those manufacturing partners in terms of so many and but they're always in a specific location, like you mentioned. So what parameters you guys use for that?
So for the feed additive side for us, you know, everything we've talked about so far in the podcast, you know, that's step A. So with these feed additives, we're going to take it a step further. You know, this is not something that I can just go pull off a shelf from, you know, manufacturer A. You know, when we think feed additives, we think performance with those feed additives, right? We want to see an ROI. So we want to make sure that product is, you know, going to work and you know, help with the growth of those animals. So in our side, you know, we're starting to look more at contamination. Is there any chance of, you know, things like a heavy metal, PCB? Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing further testing of those products in those specific realms. And then, you know, also for me, I think, you know, from a feed science standpoint, pretty true to my heart is the feed mill side. So we want to make sure these are going to, you know, flow through a feed mill or flow through a micro bin. We want to make sure they're going to mix uniformly in that feed as well. We don't want those to separate out. So I kind of classify those parameters as step two.
Okay.
And then step three is going to be the research side, which is where we start to get more on the technical front of, you know, Nexus and things within SAM, where we're going to try and find these products that we know there's research on, you know, whether the, you know, a lot of the time it's at the manufacturer level. You know, maybe they've done some smaller trials and then, hey, we need to partner with a university to get some more information. Or sometimes that product already has university research with us, you know, with that product, and we can use that information. Yeah, we might want to do a little bit more. But typically that's kind of the realm that we're looking at. So more of a three-step process, that initial, you know, kind of more testing, understanding how it's going to interact, and then following up with, you know, either data that's already there or continuing to do that research at the university level.
Three steps to make the whole thing, and just to understand those three steps, and I know it could vary, but a range of time that, you know, I'm interested in X feed additive from X location, how long does it take and for that to happen? I know it could vary, but, you know.
Yeah, loaded question on that one, Carlos. So many variables there, but, you know, let's say, you know, product A, it's got research behind it, you know, something that's probably more in like a 6-month realm to bring to market. You know, if we need to go do further research, you know, you're over a year. You know, you think of a swine trial. Yeah, you can get some nursery data pretty quick, but if I need to run a finishing trial, you know, you may not have that data for 6 months or more. And then to put that together, start to present that to customers, make determinations internally as well, over a year.
Well, and that's not too bad. I mean, when you think about it, I put my hat as a grain storage person. When you're trying to bring those type of products to control insect population, things like that, it's even longer. So I mean, I actually think that's not even that bad. So that's very, very fast in a way.
Yeah. And it all comes back to what data is there on those products to begin with. You know, if there's not data, you're going to be over that year then, right?
Yeah, of course. And then, of course, our audience, like us. If you like put a like there on, if you like this podcast today and all this great information, it'll be like a thumbs up for us. So, Roger, so, you know, very important overall. Tell us a little bit more about SAM Nutrition. Find where are you guys headed on all this, and maybe a little bit of explanation of the rest of the things that SAM Nutrition is looking into.
Yeah, so for us, you know, SAM Nutrition initially, you know, really well known on the amino acid side, and really I think where we got our, you know, the true bulk of the business and the start from. You know, SAM's been around over 20 years to date, but you know, I think, you know, we look back, responsible import guidelines really got SAM Nutrition going, and it's, you know, hey, what do we do next, or where do we need to look at? And that's where the feed additive side came in. So Nexus, which is powered by SAM, was launched roughly a month ago down at IPPE in Atlanta. And really what that is if you think of what Nexus means, right, we're trying to link things together. And for us, that means different things, you know, depending on the conversation we're having. You know, initially, you know, in my mind, we're trying to link that science of these feed additives to the performance of the animal. But now what we've, you know, in my mind too, some of these additives that are out there, we're starting to look at other markets, right? So I'm going to try and link two things. I'm trying to link that domestic user to all those international markets that are out there. And really what our thought there is, you know, we're thinking locally for our customers and how can we help them. But, you know, we're going to act globally on that. We want to continue to find solutions for them, you know, outside of, you know, the major importation countries that are there. And really what that comes down to is trying to link that high performance that we think we can get, or we know we can get with some of these additives, back to a reasonable price. And when we look at what those products are for us currently today, you know, this list, I think, will continue to evolve year over year through innovation and research. But where we're spending the bulk of our time currently is what we're going to say is Nextrace, Nexzyme, and Nextrace would be hydroxy trace minerals. So common in, you know, all diets that are out there. So that was kind of our launching point for this was Nextrace. So you know, tribasic copper chlorides, zincs, manganese, and then, you know, following up with that will be Nexzyme. So more of an enzyme platform as well. So looking at things such as like a heat stable phytase that we can bring into the market as well. And then the one that's probably got the most buzz around it, you know, not only for us but other products out there. We have the product called Cavenin, which would be, you know, polyphenol-based antioxidant replacer. You know, a lot of information there, a lot of research on that product, and really timely, you know, with what we see in the industry with the way vitamin E prices have fluctuated over the last year or so. So that one's been one of, you know, spent a lot of time and attention and research too.
Great. No, this is great. And you, of course, you guys are doing a fantastic job. Overall, for our audience, please visit our website, wisenetics.com, and learn more about all the different podcast segments that we have, like poultry, swine, dairy, beef, of course, this one, the feed science, and of course, pet food. So
it's time for our famous three.
Roger, we're getting a little bit into the end of this podcast. Any final comments that you want to talk a little bit about everything that you have mentioned today?
Sure. I think it's just, you know, important just to, you know, kind of if you kind of wrap everything together, right? It's, you know, just thinking, you know, I've got to make sure I'm doing things responsibly, safely, you know, not only protect my business, but ultimately and where, you know, my heart is I want to protect that end user and all the way down to the farmer. And you know, this start is just quarantine and holding products, but now we've involved that to, you know, visiting these sites, and bringing these different products to market that, you know, we can test their high quality, and I can start to link that end user to those global markets.
Great. No, perfect. This is great information. So, all right. So as we know, everybody that we host here, we always like to ask them a little bit of more where they could find more information. So what will be a good source for anybody to learn more about what you guys are doing, the rig, the responsible importing guidelines, any way that you could direct them to a specific place, website, you know, podcast too, I guess, books or anything like that, that you could kind of like tell them to go?
Yeah, on the responsible import guidelines side, you know, some of the initial information came out from the Swine Health, you know, Improvement Center on holding times there. And some of that research is actually done down at K-State. And then a step further, I'd say, you know, just from the same nutrition aspect, we did a lot of work with Scott D at Pipestone. On to develop some of those, you know, further time and temperature and transporting products throughout the U.S. So there are 4 published papers on that, Carlos, and that's something I think we could probably send over and attach to those as well, if there's further interest in seeing some of that data and information on how we really start to build this program from the ground up.
Perfect, perfect. Any other suggestions that can help people outside of this specific topic, but also related in a way, we could learn more about, because, you know, when you think about it, I'm in the feed mill and production industry. I may not know anything about importing. If there isn't a particular place that people can go learn more about, overall, what that mean? You know, people think you just call and that's it. You get stuff, but not necessarily that's the case. Any resource or place to learn more about it?
You know, I think on that one, if, you know, if there's specific questions on a, you know, say a product, for instance, you know, reaching out to, you know, if it's a SAM Nutrition, right?
Perfect.
Reaching directly out to that supplier, I think that's, in my opinion, where you're going to get the most realistic and honest answers is from those people who are actually doing it. I'm sure there's, you know, websites out there that talk through the process, right? We can go and see how things are imported. But if you truly want to understand the procedures that are going on, talk to the suppliers.
That's great advice and gets everybody connected. So with that, thank you very much, Roger. And we really appreciate you coming here today to talk about a very important topic on responsible importing guidelines and everything related to that. And with that, this concludes another episode of the Feed Science Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you, everybody. And of course, you, Roger, for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated and on any future episode. And if you have enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is very valuable, but we can know, of course, how can we improve. Until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.